One day, Charlie Brown was talking to his friend Linus about the pervasive sense of inadequacy he feels all the time. Charlie moaned, "You see, Linus, it goes all the way back to the beginning. The moment I was born and set foot on the stage of life, they took one look at me and said, 'Not right for the part.'"
Yeah, right.
"Not right for the part, indeed." Actually, Charlie Brown's assessment of his quandary was far more correct than he could imagine. As it turns out, absolutely none of us is right for the part when we enter this world's stage. But the real reason is not about us, per se. It's really about the world. More specifically, it's about who's, at least outwardly, currently running this world's show. The director of the world's stage took charge by orchestrating a coup d'etat a long time ago. In other words, the current director is an imposter. He's not supposed to be here at all. He stole the position by usurping the predestined legitimate director by an essentially bait-and-switch operation. The devil managed to do so, to so confuse and tempt Eve that she did what under normal circumstances she would not have done, to blatantly disobey God's clear command to not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But not only her, Adam, her husband, who even more than her should have known better, seems to have disengaged his brain for the duration. And he, the one actually carrying the delegated predestined authority, gave it all up with a single bite of the forbidden fruit. And folks, it was not an apple. It had to have been quite a fair bit more appealing, beautiful, delectable, and captivating than any ordinary apple. In the beginning, in stark contrast to Charlie Brown and all of us, Adam and Eve were perfect for this world. God had designed both the world and everything in it, as well as Adam and Eve, as perfect complements. Life was all bliss, contentment, and completeness. Life on this then pristine earth was to be an unending adventure of pure delight as we all lived in perfect harmony and unity with our Creator and Father God. But the devil's deadly deception was beautiful in its execution, devastatingly effective, successful in every way. He gained control of this earth. Suddenly the director of this world's operation, he immediately set about to remake it in his image, to stamp out in every way possible every indication that it was ever not his own playground. He has been trying to ever more thoroughly corrupt it to his evil liking ever since, to make life on this earth a grotesque caricature of what God originally intended, such that the life we live now, each and every one of us, at best, is but the faintest shadow of how we were always supposed to live. Ever since that fateful day, God put in motion his perfectly conceived and intricately executed rescue plan. God's plan is so exquisite and elegantly meticulous that it has taken thousands of years to complete, but it's nearing culmination very soon. At least it is regarding us humans. Like Charlie Brown, we're all born into this world, and though we don't hear a voice declaring us not right for the part, we intuitively sense that things are not right. Things are somehow off, off kilter. We can't put our fingers on it, and as we grow up, and the only things we hear and see are from the devil's unceasing propaganda machine spewing forth its lies, half-truths, and deceptions through the mouths and actions of the people around us, we all too quickly conclude that This is just the way things are. And we just have to live and make the best of this life as it presents itself. And so the vast majority of people in the world live their lives never knowing that they were always supposed to be living in a far different, far better, indeed perfect world. A literal heaven on earth. But with the truth hidden from them, people don't expect anything different. They plod along through life as if this is all there is to it. But God's rescue plan has always provided a way for his beloved people to know the truth. And he put it in writing so that it would always be available and accessible to anyone who bothered to look. For when we make a conscious decision to question the devil's propaganda narrative and actually look into God's holy book, the facade around us begins to slip. Cracks begin to appear in the fake construct of what the devil's been selling to humanity since his victory in the Garden of Eden. When we truly decide to seriously and earnestly spend abundant time in God's Word, we begin to understand not just the world and how it's been corrupted, but ourselves and who we really are, actually are. Before the fall, Adam and Eve lived in two places at once, though for them, it was just a single place. They lived in perfect communion, harmony, unity, and completeness with the Lord. They didn't know any different. They didn't need to know any different. Everything was perfect. But with their disobedience, their first sin, suddenly they could see a different world. A world departing from God's ways, becoming corrupt, decaying, dying, like it never had before. Yeah. Suddenly they found themselves in the same boat as the world. No longer immortal, their own bodies were now on a slow boat to death, whatever that was. Life was not life anymore. They were just existing. At best, they tried to recover what they had lost. But it was just forever out of reach. How tragic it was for them to have once known perfection and then having to live some kind of imitation life from then on. They had thought they were gaining knowledge. Instead, they found themselves forever stumbling in darkness, the shadow of death and destruction that would one day take their very lives from them. Enough about them. God's genius, brilliant, but unbelievably costly rescue plan had been set in motion, and after thousands of years, sent to the earth a Savior called God's only begotten Son. Not an offspring, but a very part of God, another personage of the Godhead. Christ Jesus came to restore all things, to make them into a different kind of perfection than they had had in the beginning. His coming accomplished so many things, we can only scratch the surface of all the things he had completed and set in motion during his short 33-year life on this earth. But he displayed to us living in two places at once. Unlike every other human being who has ever been born after Adam and Eve, Lord Jesus was both God and man at the same time. In other words, he was living in two places at once. He was living on this physical earth, just like fallen, corrupt Adam and Eve and all their descendants. But he was also living in union with Father God, the creator of all things. When you read the Bible, particularly his spoken words to the disciples, to the people around him, in the many prophecies about him and through which he speaks all throughout the Old Testament, you can tell when he is speaking from his divinity and when he is speaking as a human man like us. One can discern that he is far more than just a human man and easily believe that he is indeed one with Father God. He himself said that he and the Father are one. We just read him say it in John 17:21. He prays for us to experience it and to live into it forever. Christ Jesus didn't just come, die for our sins on the cross, resurrect on the third day, and then ascend back into heaven and leave us again to fend by our own devices. That would have been practically useless. No, he gathered disciples, he taught them, and he prayed for them. And he prayed for us, those disciples' spiritual descendants. Those disciples, granted it took them quite a while, learned to live in two places at once. Once they received the key, that is, Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, on Shavuot, they then knew how to continuously walk in two places at once. They lived in this world, but simultaneously they were living in heaven, in union with God, God's Holy Spirit. They were no longer seeing just what this physical world presents, what the devil wants us all to see. The devil does not want us to see and know about the infinite immensity of heaven and God's presence in this world that we can walk in simultaneously while plowing through this world's sufferings caused by the devil's tyranny and our sin. What does it look like to live in these two and only two places at once? Well, consider the Apostle Paul. Look at what happened on his trip to Rome. An uneventful sailing would have taken just over 3 weeks in those days, but his trip took at least 6 months. But there was no time wasted. Every minute he was always living in the two places at once, knowing things and doing things that were impossible if he was only living in this world. Just look at the miracles, the supernatural signs and wonders that were happening in him, all around him, all through that journey, and during the concluding years of his life in Rome. So very many came to know the Lord Jesus and his salvation. They too came to understand that this life is hardly all there is. We must not let ourselves be blinded by the devil so that we concern ourselves only with this physical life and its concerns. We do attend to its demands and necessities, but if we learn to allow Holy Spirit, the Helper, to help us, we can see heaven and God's realities in everything as we do so. That is living in two places at once. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have been sent into each of us by our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, and coming from God the Father. And we pray, dear Holy Spirit, do help us to allow us to let you help us. Help us move in us, motivate us to spend more time in the Bible, to truly not just read it, but to meditate in it, to stew in it, to meditate on your presence in us, and so be lifted up miraculously, even without us knowing it at first, from this physical earth and experience living in two places at once. In Jesus' name we pray and for your sake, Lord. Amen.